Welcome to another episode of Meet Me at the Library, the podcast that talks about programs and resources at Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. I'm Jeff Gavin, a librarian at North County Regional Library, which is currently closed for renovation. If you want historical or genealogical information, the Robinson Spangler Carolina Room, this is the place to be. In this episode of Meet Me at the Library, we're going to be talking about programs and resources available through the Robinson Spangler Carolina Room, also known as the Carolina Room, which is how I'll refer to it in the rest of this recording. With us today, we have the staff of the Carolina Room. Leonora Kaufman is the manager. Sheila Bumgarner, Tom Cole, and Robert Stoker are the librarians. Sydney Vale is the archivist. The Carolina Room is located on the third floor of Main Library at 310 North Tryon Street, Charlotte, North Carolina. Why don't each of you tell us a little bit about yourselves and what you do? Leonora?
Hi, my name is Leonora Kaufman, and I'm the manager of the Robinson Spangler Carolina Room. And I have to say, I have been really impressed with the staff, who are brilliant, who practice extraordinary customer service, who have a tremendous amount of loyalty and dedication to their customers, to each other, and to the organization. And we also have a huge, robust, and rich collection that brings history to the community.
Okay, great. Okay, Sheila?
Well, I've been here for 30 years. I started out fresh out of graduate school. I am in charge of doing programming, exhibits. I order the history materials for the department, the music materials. I'm the photograph archivist and the music archivist. And I love my job and I love helping people. And that's how I got started as a librarian, by helping someone.
All right. Sydney, you want to come?
My name's Sydney. I am the archivist here. So I'm in charge of managing and maintaining all of the archival collections in the Carolina Room. What that means is I process and preserve all of our historical artifacts and documents so that the community has access to them for a long time.
Tom?
I'm Tom Cole. Like everyone else here, I do frontline public service, but my area of specialty is to use Carolina Room resources to tell the story of Charlotte Mecklenburg to the public. And sometimes I tell that story through giving talks out to local groups, and oftentimes I tell the story through exhibits on the website. And I'm responsible for putting things up on the website, managing the content. I don't produce all the content. We have some helpful staff members and volunteers who can help with that.
Thank you. Robert?
My name is Robert Stoker. I came to the Carolina Room about 4 years ago. I do cataloging for the special collections here. And as required for all catalogers, there is nothing interesting or amusing about me at all.
That is so not true.
So can you give me any specific examples of how a person may have come to you all and used the Carolina Room?
Electronically or in person? Both?
Both.
Electronically, we get, I was on the desk yesterday, yep, and the phone rang off the hook, and people ask for things. The obituary is information on a house, information on a neighborhood. We get it for them. We send it electronically. We have the feedback form coming into all our mailboxes all the time. This, I need information on this, I need information on that. We fulfill that requirement, what their requests are. We send it right back to them. Uh-huh. But people do come in.
Yeah.
As well, and they want to sit with the genealogy books or with the history books, the maps, etc., and we work with them one-on-one until they get what they need.
Yeah, we're working with Tom Hanchett on a parks project, and we have these fabulous photographs from around the early 1900s of Independence Park, and he wanted to see those as well as a map, so we pulled those out. And he's going to be using those resources for an upcoming project that he's working on. We've worked with Steve Crump, who comes in all the time with these ideas, and we pull negatives for him, and he creates some of the finest documentaries about what has happened in Charlotte and Mecklenburg County. And we get questions like that all the time. Professors who are working on photograph, students who are doing their dissertations, their thesis, or just a regular, we entertain and give tours to certain college students who are doing special projects mm-hmm. that rely on our resources.
But we also get a lot of everyday people
yeah.
who want some information that just adds value to their life, maybe some information on a family member, information on their home, like I said, in their neighborhood. We get a lot of really, yeah. really interesting questions, and some of them are very challenging to answer, but it's for everyone. It really
yeah.
is.
Because we were tracing, I was helping trace a woman's history of her female ancestor, and she married four times, once over in England, and then she married again in England. I'm sorry, it was twice in England. He died on the ship coming over, and then when she arrived here, she went through two more husbands. But she lived a good long life.
Now, is everything public domain?
No, we do have some postcards that are not public domain. Of course, the Observer negatives are not public domain, nor is the music. What we do for that, we have a list of what we've made listening copies of, and we call it a dub. And we'll bring out the equipment for you to listen to it in here. We cannot check out the cassette. We cannot check out the music. If we were circulating, we could check out the music, but we're not. But there's very strict copyright rules on music.
Okay.
But we let you know on our image site which ones have, what we have copyright to.
Okay.
The archival collection, that's public. We have helped many a student write those footnotes.
Right. Gotcha.
We work with the city, with the county, with newspapers, mm-hmm. with magazines like Charlotte Agenda. They use our images, but they also use our content. We okay. help them with content.
Our state magazine, Charlotte Magazine, right. has used a lot of our photographs.
We truly are a very valuable resource to people in the county and surrounding areas.
Because with the Charlotte anniversary, we were called on constantly from various organizations who were putting together websites or trying to do some sort of exhibit. And I was sending out photographs at least, I think I sent out over 300 this summer alone. And then we manned a table for the special day last Monday, and we had a great time meeting people and letting them take photographs of our flat Queen Charlotte.
No.
Our cardboard cutout
of Queen Charlotte, and she goes with us, and she graciously allowed folks to take a selfie with her. And we brought out an annual, and people had the best time looking through that and some of the photographs of the square. And we kept having to point because the music was kind of loud, and we would point to the photographs and then point back to the square, and they got it, and they were just aghast, especially the children. They could not understand that wooden buildings with dirt roads once comprised the square.
Right. You mentioned movies earlier. What are some movies where we might see some content from the Carolina Room?
A lot of documentaries, but I know
the Trail of History.
Oh yes, we've done the Trail of History. So I've done that several
that
times,
serial.
And I've done photographs, and I've actually been interviewed
a
couple of times on Trail of History. We love them, but documentaries, like I said, Steve Crump has used a lot of our works. The late Stuart Grassberg used some of our images. He used to work for WTVI. And he actually won several Emmys. Very proud of him. And we have this large collection of Camp Green memorabilia, more than any place in the state, I would hope. And we have just hundreds of postcards, lots of panoramas. We just took down this exhibit that we were honoring the 100th anniversary of the Great War, also known as World War I. And the role that Charlotte played in that. And when Jack Dillard, he gathered all of these materials, and plus he used some of the ones we had, and he created this documentary called City of Canvas, which is about Camp Green, which was a World War I training containment camp. Is it
cantonment?
Oh, yeah. It's a very odd term, but we'll just say training camp. I think that would make more sense, which was, of course, located out near the Camp Green Road area all the way up to Tuckasegee. And these young men, they learned how to fly planes, drive tanks. They had cavalry. They learned how to dig trenches. When I was doing this exhibit, I learned there are three different ways to dig a trench. And that was interesting. But after the CD was released and he gave a lot of talks, he was so generous and kind to give us the collection. And it is one of our crowning jewels in the archival collection.
Okay. Awesome. All that happened in Charlotte.
Yes. And it changed the city's history. A lot of those young men, one, it put so much money into the economy mm-hmm. because we supplied the supplies. They really didn't have an organized supply depot like they did during World War II. And also some of those young men came back and married their sweethearts that they met in Charlotte, because these men weren't local. They came from all over the country, primarily New York and out west.
Right.
And some of them became some of the main leaders in Charlotte.
Okay, cool. That's what I did. I came south and married a Carolina girl.
From
Cherville.
Yeah. But if you look at the history of Charlotte, most of the men who came here, especially during the 1850s, it was the height of the gold rush. Banking was becoming established in Charlotte. We already had the Mint. And they came from all over North Carolina as other places to make their fortune here in Charlotte.
So how are the materials managed?
This is Robert. What we call the bibliographic materials, which is to say books, maps, microfilms, magazines, those sorts of things, are in the library's catalog, just like all the Patricia Cornwell novels and, you know, that sort of stuff. And you can search the library's catalog right at the top of cmlibrary.org. Just type in what it is you want to search for. Make sure you click on the button that says catalog, otherwise you will search the website, and then go. And you do not need to know the title. You do not need to know the author. Knowing what color the cover is frankly not useful at all. You can type in subject headings. You can type in keywords. If you're curious to know what materials we might have dealing with your family history in Forsyth County, North Carolina, type in Forsyth County, NC, genealogy, and then go. And, you know, if you want to do broader searches, you can leave off the genealogy and you'll find out if we have any histories of Forsyth County or picture books of Forsyth County, that sort of thing. It is my job to try to make sure that all the materials here in the Carolina Room are findable, particularly by the people who use the Carolina Room. So I try to be very careful when I'm adding a new item. When I go look online for the existing cataloging records for that item, they may not address genealogy at all in their subject headings. But if I'm looking at the book and it would be useful to genealogists, I make sure to add a subject heading for genealogy so that genealogists can find it. There's a rule in cataloging that you can list all the subject headings you want, but you can only give a book one call number. And we do try to make our materials here in the Carolina Room browsable by call number. We use the Dewey Decimal System, just like the rest of the library here does. And we try to put all the genealogy materials together. Sometimes there is a hard decision to be made between whether or not something is genealogy or history. I usually go by the rule that if the index looks like a phone book, in other words, if it's just a long list of names, that's more useful for genealogists. And if the index looks like a geography textbook, in other words, it's cities and rivers and oceans and battles and lakes, it's going to go in history. But that's just for the collection here. One of the luxuries of being a special collections cataloger is, as long as I don't have users complaining that they can't find our books, I'm doing an okay job.
Okay. Dewey just celebrated a birthday.
Yes, he did. Yep.
How old is he?
He'd be 275, 250. I've lost track.
Something like that. Good old Mel.
We'll have to look it up.
Did they put that on Google? You know how they do the.
Yeah, they usually.
Actually, someone Facebooked that. All my friends on my Facebook, they send me these wonderful messages about libraries and how important they are. And this gentleman happened to remember that it was Melvin Dewey's birthday.
Speaking a little bit more to managing bibliographic information. The Carolina Room is also in the process of setting up Archive Space, which is an information management system for archival collections. So it basically operates pretty similarly to an online catalog that Robert was just talking about. that you would use for a public or academic library. So ArchivesSpace is basically an online catalog of all of our finding aids. So finding aid is anything, all the information pertaining to an archival collection. So what each folder holds, what each box, what you can find in each box, that sort of thing. So it really just helps you navigate through the archival collection so you know exactly what you're looking for. But all this information will be going on ArchivesSpace. We'll probably have that up and running in the next month or two. We're still in the process of setting that up. But the great thing about ArchivesSpace is that it will be linked from cmstory.org. And all of our patrons can search through this, all of our historical collections from home. So you'll be able to access this from the comfort of your own pajamas. You can be anywhere and you can still access this information.
Let me follow up with one thing. The ArchivesSpace is a separate service for cataloging our descriptions of the archival materials, but can one find the contents from ArchivesSpace through the library catalog, or do we have to go through the Charlotte Mecklenburg Story website?
It will be both.
It will be both. Great.
ArchivesSpace is a new resource that we're adding. We had begun a year or two ago the very early stages of adding links to the finding aids to the catalog, so that somebody searching the catalog would find the finding aids, which could then lead them to the online version of the finding aid. We will continue that, but instead of linking to PDF documents housed on cmstory.org, we'll be linking to the fuller descriptions available through ArchivesSpace. One of the beauties of the catalog is we can catalog something just like it's a book, but basically just give a link to an online resource.
Cool. Well, that satisfies my question. Thank you very much.
And we do catalog our photographs, and they're on cmstory.org in the image collection. And we describe them by what type of image it is, black or white, albumen, photograph, postcard. And they also have a lot of details. It'll tell you if it's a picture of a building, where it was located, if there's people in it. We try to identify them. And that resource is really useful to a lot of folks.
Okay. So what kind of programs does the Carolina Room offer?
Our main goal is to bring history to you, the public, the people of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County. We have created a lot of different programming, some things that are based like Who is Sharon? We also bring in guest speakers. We also have been invited to schools. Not too long ago, we went out to Polo Ridge Elementary School, and we worked with some second graders about the history of Queen Charlotte and how Charlotte got its name. And they were the most darling children, and they were so well behaved, and they asked really good questions. And we brought costumes, which we borrowed from the Charlotte Museum of History. Thank you very much. And when the kids got to try those on, and they loved it. We also had some toys and some pottery to give them an idea of what 18th century life looked like. We've done a lot of genealogy programs. We do programs on Native Americans in North Carolina, how North Carolina became populated. We've also brought in some authors, the gentleman who wrote the biography of Julius Chambers, the great civil rights attorney from Charlotte. Just a lot of different interesting people that we've had. We also had a Scottish genealogist who came he was visiting over in Scotland County at the St. Andrews College, and he came over, and we had a little difficulty understanding him, but he was great at explaining Scottish genealogy, and that is real popular in this area because it was settled by the Scots-Irish, who were Scottish, not Irish.
So why are they called Scotch-Irish?
Well, it's a little bit of a history there, lesson here. They tried to create some Protestant colonies in northern, what we call now Northern Ireland. So these Scottish folks went over there and they settled, but they never really took hold. And then they had trouble with the king. So they left in droves from Northern Ireland and settled primarily in North Carolina.
Okay. Because I know many people
and Pennsylvania
from the area that are Scotch-Irish.
And they get the Scotch.
I always wonder about that.
The Scotch is what you drink. Scots is what you are. Scots-Irish, they were not Irish. They never intermarried with the Catholic families. They were very Presbyterian. I mean, very Presbyterian. That's why Charlotte Mecklenburg County has so many Presbyterian churches, and some of the oldest churches are the Presbyterian churches.
Okay, great. Thank you for answering that question, which I've had for about 20 years now.
Hey, if it's about Charlotte and Mecklenburg County, we can answer it.
All right, so tell me about volunteers in the Carolina Room.
Stanford, we have 5.5 people, but we have five volunteers as well that are invaluable.
And they've helped us process collections, get them organized so that, you know,
this
separate.
In case anybody else wants to volunteer.
Yeah, because you know, we're all
volunteers.
We're looking for good volunteers. But we have our wonderful volunteer there. Volunteer, 29 years. Why do you like working in the Carolina Room?
One of the reasons is it's such a variety of subjects that I have come across. Started out just by cataloging old negatives going back to 1957, working on the...
That was the Charlotte Observer.
Yes. Working on the African-American album and meeting such interesting people. The photographs are very interesting, no matter what. It's such a wonderful piece of history to just to look at these old photographs, and each one has, I believe, would have a great story behind them. It is a lot of fun. It's a very nice hobby, and I love it.
How long have you been doing it?
29 years.
Wow.
And Dick has been honored by the governor and the president for being such a great volunteer. He has received awards for that. And the reason he's talking about photographs is he scans most of our photographs, map requests that come in, and saves us a lot of time because it does take time. And he's learned a lot about Photoshop and can clean up a photograph that all looks right. Totally wretched and make it look brand new.
One of the things, it's not that I so fantastic at it. It just saves people something that they don't have to bother with, that they can do their regular job.
Yeah.
And to help them out is main object being here, is to help.
Yeah,
and because we're so nice.
We're very wonderful. We're wonderful staff. Incredible.
Thank you.
And very humble, too.
Yes.
No, I'm not. One of the great things about being a volunteer, if you don't like the people you're working with, you don't stay.
Right.
I've been here 29 years. I love the people.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Okay, so what are some things that folks did not know that they should be asking about in the Carolina Room?
Well, if you've had a burning question of why we have so many roads named Sharon, we can answer that. But we also have a lot of great books that have, well, let's just say, like Cherokee Indian food recipes. Those are just fascinating. And we also have lots of recipe books. Sydney, you want to talk about that project you worked with about historic recipes?
Yeah, so one of the things that the Carolina Room has been really trying to do better at is to have more of a digital presence and on social media. So right before Thanksgiving, I was confronted by Jared Meisner, who is the public information specialist here. And he was just really interested about making a story around Thanksgiving and what the Robinson Spangler Carolina Room can really contribute to that. So I thought it'd be fun to look through some of the old recipe books and see what historic Charlotte recipes I could find. Mm. And we found some really wild...
gross.
Yeah, just very interesting things that I definitely probably wouldn't want to try. Mm. But something, you know, these recipes were really ingrained in Charlotte culture,
sure.
You know, 50, 60 years ago. Mm. So I was able to scan some of those old recipes, and it was featured on the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library's Instagram story page.
Okay.
And a lot of people, you know, women's history was really big back in the 70s and 80s, and we have a large collection of those types of materials, call it wife husbandry, that we have colonial recipe books. But in terms of other resources, for archival purposes, we were given, this gentleman wrote a book about the Outlaw Carolina Baseball League, and he did a lot of his research here, and he gave us these wonderful photographs and history that went behind that book. And so sports is another popular, some people, you know, the kids, they want to do a fun history project.
Mm-hmm.
We always encourage students to write about what you love. Don't pick a topic that just because the teacher gave it to you. You know, ask if you can research the history of the Charlotte Hornets. Mm. That has a history now. They've been here long enough to have a really good history.
Sure.
One question I get a lot from people who are new to the Carolina Room is, do y'all have things that are just about North Carolina? And so we have to say, we are the Carolina Room, but as was said earlier, we have genealogical materials from all 50 states and histories that are regional, even nationwide. So our focus is broader than people realize. Okay. The other thing that people are surprised to learn is the wealth of the online resources we talked about before, the historic newspapers and census thing and other genealogical records available online and in the library. And lastly, the maps and the city directories. Mm-hmm. Those are collections that give people a real sense of what life, kind of helps people imagine what life was like, to see it on a map or to see a list of names on a block. And so those are things that get big reactions because people don't know they're here. And once they get to handle them, they see the power of these resources.
Yeah.
One of the most popular questions we get is, well, it's not a question, it's just a statement. I did not know this was here. Yeah. I've lived in Charlotte all my life. I did not know this place existed. We've been around since 1956, and I think Charlotte Magazine has voted us best kept secret a couple of times in Charlotte.
Yeah.
But we don't
want to
be a secret.
Yeah, try to lose us that award. Yeah.
So hopefully this little podcast will encourage and entice you to come and visit us.
Okay, so do you have any stories of impact or any humorous or interesting stories anybody wants to share?
When I first got here, the first thing I thought was, every day here, we have stories of impact. We see people just stunned at what we could find for them, how we could help them. So we do have some really good stories.
A friend of mine from church, I did not know she was adopted, and she reached out to me and she said, I have found the name of my birth father, and he gave me the name of my birth mother. Could you help me locate her? Mm. So it took a little bit of digging on Ancestry because they had gotten the surname wrong. And then I stumbled across some albums, some annuals from Texas. And I flipped on the woman who I was pretty sure was her mother. And I had to sit down really hard again because it was identical. They were so much alike in features, the chin, the eye, the nose. And I was trembling when I sent it to her. I said, if this isn't your mother, I don't know who is. And it has meant the world to her.
Yeah.
She has gotten in contact and has visited with both her birth parents and has some siblings that she did not know she had. And it's just made a big difference in her life. And that was one of my proudest moments. And then helping a woman do Puerto Rican genealogy. I didn't know I could do it, but using Ancestry, she showed up for a program. And she was the only one who came. So she got, I do the same program, whether it's one person or five. And we had a great time tracing her family back.
Great.
There was also the daughter who was doing an Ancestry search for her father who had Alzheimer's.
That was
great photographer of Charlotte Observer.
Right. So she was doing this search for him to kind of rekindle his memories to his past and give it to him as a gift. Something, even small little things. Yesterday I had a woman come in and she was trying to search her family. She was adopted and wanted to see if she could trace her birth parents, and I told her I'd help her and we'd go on Ancestry first and we'd follow up, and she just looked at me very quietly and said, but I don't have any money. And I said, you don't need any money.
Oh,
just come with me. So she was just so thankful. Those little things like that mean so much.
Right.
Oh yeah, I had a lady call late last night and I called her back because I missed her call, which we do if we're on the back and we can't quite reach the phone. And she just wanted to know where she could get a copy of her divorce. She said, no one will tell me what day she was divorced. And I was like, okay. So it took a little, you know, I wanted to make sure I sent her to the right clerk of court. And she was so appreciative.
Yeah.
It's just little things like that. But for the detailed research that we provide, we have a gentleman who comes in and and Tom over here is fluent in five languages, and I don't think he likes to say he's fluent, but anyway, he helped him out with some German transcriptions, and that's we're always impressed with Tom's skills in that area, but it meant a lot to the patron because it's not every day you have someone nearby who can translate your German ancestors' records for you.
And it's not just about history. The other day I got a call from somebody who heard of a young man that was killed in a car accident, and she wasn't sure if this was the same person that she went to school with. It was a fairly common name.
Right.
She said, can you find some information about it? The accident was just a couple of days ago. I did find a picture of him and sent it to her, and it was the young man that she went to school with.
Sometimes you do get challenging questions, not so much because the question is hard to answer, but because when you find the answer, you realize immediately, I'm going to have to be careful how I present this to the patron. I remember getting an email one time from someone whose uncle, I think it was, had died, and he wanted to know if I could find an obituary or anything in the newspaper about it. And he gave me the date, and this was back when we still had to use the microfilms before we got the historic Charlotte Observer database. And I found very quickly a huge article because his uncle and aunt had died in a murder-suicide. Mm-hmm. And so I emailed back to the person. I said, I was able to find some articles, but before I send them to you, what do you know about his death? And fortunately, he already knew that it was a violent death, and he just didn't know the exact details. And so I was able to send on the articles, you know, knowing that I wasn't going to completely ruin his day. This was not, oh, I thought my uncle passed away in his sleep or something, and no, he didn't. And so it can be challenging sometimes, just the human interaction aspect of it, to know, okay, how am I going to answer this question?
Right.
And sometimes it's just based on what we already know in the collection. I had a lovely couple from England come in, and they wanted information on the Hilton sisters. And they were twins, conjoined twins at the hip, who had a vaudeville act, but ended up here in Charlotte, abandoned. And they worked at the Parkin Shop. It was one of the stores on Wilkinson Boulevard. It turns out that they were these twins were her great aunts. And I thought, what a great story. So I called up Mark Washburn over at the Observer, and he came over and interviewed them. And that led to them finding out more people who knew their aunts and got more information with them. They shared some photographs, and we made some copies of that. And it's just knowing that, you know, I knew the Hilton sisters.
Yeah.
Because we all probably know more about Charlotte Mecklenburg County than we do our home counties that we grew up in.
Right. These are some great stories. So is there anything anybody else would like to add?
I just want to make sure that the people out there understand that we are always available for them. No matter what their question is, they can call us, they can email us, they can send in the feedback form. We will help them find what they need.
Okay. And speaking of availability, what are the hours of the Carolina Room?
We have new hours. We are closed on Sunday to the public. We have virtual hours on Monday, which means although the room is closed to the public, you can call in or email us just like you normally do, and we will have someone on staff to answer your questions. We are open Tuesday through Thursday from 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and on Friday and Saturdays from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock. With some of those hours, we will gladly meet you any place. If you can't come downtown, we'll be glad to help show you AncestryCut.com. Unfortunately, we can't bring the collection with us, but we can show you some online resources.
So we will go and meet the customer if you need us to in a branch.
In a branch.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Great.
We don't sing. We do sing. We dance a little bit, but we can't dance.
Good. Okay, so I want to thank the Carolina Room staff for joining us. We had Sheila, Sydney, Leonora, Tom, Robert, and Mr. Ridley. And I thank you all for joining us for Meet Me at the Library. We hope you've enjoyed the program. You can find out more about the library at www.cmlibrary.org. Don't forget to check the library's calendar and resources pages. And also, you can find the digital branch at digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. And you can find the Carolina Room information at cmstory.org. Or check the branches. The Carolina Room does fall under library branches at cmlibrary.org/branches. And look for the upcoming archive space for the Carolina Room. Thank you very much. Have a great day.